Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And got a lot of stuff to do today. Not a whole lot of it is particularly sports-related. There is, however, one sports-related thing that I feel like I need to address off the jump. And Adam's going to love this, I already know, as the resident Michigan fan on the show.
Yeah.
Because it's about Connor Stallions.
And the whole...
Yeah. Oh, you know, that one guy who was playing dress up on the side on the CMU sidelines against State was, you know, doing all the video sign stealing and all the things.
Allegedly.
There's no alleged. He did.
But all right, go ahead.
His story has gotten even weirder per an article in The Athletic, in that apparently, I guess, Connor Stallions was offered a gig at Detroit Mumford High School, a program that's gone 2-16 the last two seasons.
Oh, my.
They made national headlines last week after news broke that Stallions would be on the coaching staff there. Apparently, there was a whole nother gig that he was offered before that, though.
Okay.
Berkeley High School wanted to hire him in, well, Berkeley, as you would expect.
Sure.
They went 0-9 last year. They were outscored 382-46 over the course of the season.
Wow.
And he was going to be the defensive coordinator there. And this, there's a whole weird thing into this, because we don't really need to go in the backstory. You know what Connor Stallions did, you know who he is and all that. But here's the really funny part of this. He hasn't spoken publicly about the Michigan scandal, of course, since he resigned in November. But he did address the situation in emails to Berkeley school district administrators as he pleaded his case to become Berkeley's defensive coordinator. Quote, legally, I cannot get into the details, but I have great news, he wrote to Berkeley administrators on March 8th. While I understand what has come with my name over the last 5 months, very soon the media, the NCAA, and all the misinformation about the entire NCAA, quote, investigation is going to be exposed. I'm excited that Berkeley schools will have the opportunity to be nationally portrayed in a positive light in this story. He didn't get the job, and it's really weird because I guess the first-year football coach there had emailed an executive assistant with the HR department at the school district to request that he be added to basically the EduStaff, which is like the temp agency of high school football coaches, I guess. Like, they use it for substitute teachers, coaches, and other contract employees. The administrative assistant forwarded the coach's email to Berkeley's AD saying, yes, he's good to go. The same day, the AD emailed the coach to inquire about the new hire. Have I met Connor? What position is he taking? I was in the middle of drafting an email for you now. I was going to have Stallions meet me at the high school to meet with you tonight. So it sounds like the AD didn't even know who this guy was. The AD has since resigned from Berkeley High School.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't said if his resignation was related to the Stallion situation. Now, here's where it gets weird. Apparently, he was already working with the kids, despite the fact that, according to Berkeley, he'd never been hired. Stallions refused to relinquish his position, while district officials claimed he'd never been hired in the first place. Apparently, the AD said, I told him we had concerns with his background and that we as a district do not feel like it's the right time for him to be on the staff. Stallion somehow believed he'd already been hired, and he wasn't going to give up this job without a fight. The coach spoke with players' parents to share the news. The deputy superintendent expressed concern about the coach's message to parents. But apparently, he was already working with the kids despite the fact that he hadn't been fired. And that apparently the higher-ups at the school district had no idea who he was. Stallions, am I being fired? If I'm being fired, I will need justification for termination in writing. The principal said, I've never even talked to the guy.
What a way to weasel yourself into a job.
Right? Like, yeah, I already have the job. What are you talking about? Am I getting fired? I'm going to need that in writing. Principal doesn't even know he's employed there, and he's already been working with the kids, and the AD is basically being made to be the fall guy for it. He was basically forced out of a gig.
I mean, you got to admire the chutzpah on this guy, don't
really?
You?
Really?
Just weaseled himself into cojones. A job.
Yeah, this is my job now. What, you didn't know that? Like, no one's going to tell me I'm not working here. Like, at a high school defensive coordinator gig, I can't imagine this pays that much. Like,
I was with that whole U of M team. You know, we won a national title last year. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, come on in. And that's all he needed. He's like, oh, I'm in now. He's trying to claim squatter rights.
Right. He's already getting all his mail forwarded to the high school. Like, what is going on here?
Bring that guy. I want to talk to him. He's in the locker room. He just woke up. He was sleeping in one of the classrooms. He's showering. He'll be up here in a minute.
Yeah, give him a minute. He'll be fine. It's okay. Just the fact that he just like he moved into the place like he owned it. It's pretty impressive. Like, he hadn't officially, allegedly, been given a gig yet, and ultimately someone else lost their job over the whole thing. That's kind of that's a weird setup.
I mean, nice doing research, huh? Nice getting all the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
Like, I fail to understand how it was that the athletic director had no idea who this guy was. Like, I don't think there's anyone who's been more talked about this last year in sports in the state of Michigan than Connor Stallions. How can you possibly act like, I don't even know who that is? Who? Never heard of him.
Googles him. Oh, no. Oh, what have I done?
Right, I could see the principal not knowing. Maybe I assume, you know, he's like separate from the whole athletic thing. They're probably not paying that much attention to this. But you're going to tell me the AD really didn't know who this guy was? Just had no clue?
Well,
hadn't heard the name Connor Stallions once on the news or something?
His team is hot garbage. He probably plays D&D in his off time.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
He's not studying sports.
Well, no, that's pretty readily apparent. Like, you got outscored like 320-42 over the court. Like,
and they still don't know how they scored those 42.
Like, you scored maybe like on average a touchdown to like two field goals a game or something. If that,
the kicker's just like, I'm trying to carry you people.
It's like a Jason Hansen kind of situation.
All right, I guess Daddy's got to kick another ball.
We didn't get shut out today. You're welcome.
Man, we completely suck last. Hey, who's we?
speak for yourself.
You got a mouse in your pocket? Me and my golden foot are leaving.
It's just amazing, like, the fact that this got far enough for him to think that he had a job, unless he's just that off his rocker that he really did think he could just show up and, like, no one would have anything to say about it. Oh, no. No, it's fine. It's fine. Don't even worry about it.
I'm a Michigan guy. I just won a national title. This is my job now.
You know, a real Big Ten coach who's been on the sideline of a national championship-winning team.
I mean, was also on the sideline of the other team, too.
Right. I was on sidelines for a few teams this season.
In the same game.
Craziest thing. Like, yep, that's me over there in the Groucho glasses and the mustache.
Yeah. Oh, check this out. Yeah, rainbow clown wig. I didn't think that would work. I thought it was funny. Got right in there. And he used it.
Like, no one's going to believe this. No one's going to believe that there's something up here. Like, no, really, we got this.
What was it from the A-team? Was it Face that was always like dressed up? Yeah, that's him. He just dresses up in anything and just gets himself into any situation. It's like what Jim has always said. You walk into a place with a lanyard and act like you're supposed to be there, you'll get in.
Yeah, absolutely. If you take a clipboard or a ladder or a lanyard, you just walk in, don't say anything, just go wherever you want, and people will assume you belong there.
Just don't show up in a Boston Red Sox jersey.
It got me in.
It got you thrown out.
It also got you out.
Well, that's fair.
I could have stayed, actually, but Jim was also my ride, so I really couldn't. We've recounted that story on the air before, I think.
But not since FM.
Have we not?
Tell it again. This is great.
I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version. So a Tigers opening day a few years ago. This is before we started getting included on like actual programming on WTGV. So we had to kind of just, you know, talk our way into places. Yeah. We showed up. There was a party going on downtown. I didn't know much about it other than, like, it looked like it was some kind of official thing of some sort, but Jim Beam was hosting it, and they were pouring some mighty fine beverages.
Ooh.
Talked to the guy, the security guard standing watch. He clearly didn't care. I was like, yeah, we just want to see what this party's about. Like, yeah, sure, whatever, go on. Like, didn't care. Like, we basically admitted we weren't with the party, and he didn't care.
Yeah.
In hindsight, the security guard was probably waiting to see what happened when they let me in with a Red Sox jersey.
That's true.
His check bounced. He's like, all right, I just want to watch the world burn now.
And I feel like that's fair. So,
go ahead, Boston guy. You're having a wicked good time.
And let me tell you, they were pouring, and they were pouring mighty fine. Like, we're talking, like, a rocks glass size pour, like, yeah. And by that I mean like a rocks glass filled to the top with whiskey. Like,
oh,
it was a plastic tumbler that was about half full of Jim Beam.
That was the sound you just heard was my liver giving a Sam Kinison scream.
That's as well it should be, because this was incredible. So we get in, and I am all of a sudden, like, I find myself, like, Jim went out to he went off to find food or something at this party or hit the bathroom or whatever. And I'm sitting here mingling with people I've never met in my life. Eh, like we're just long-lost friends. Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you forever. It was great. Like, no one suspected a thing. And then while I'm, you know, inside the area where we're getting poured drinks and things, Jim comes up to me, we gotta go. What do you mean we gotta go? Well, I went to go get food, and they figured out that I was not part of this get-together.
Don't know what gave it away.
Meanwhile, Sean's holding a carafe of Jim Beam.
And so I tell him, I said, let me get one more drink, and we'll leave.
No, I was like, let me get a shake, and we'll leave.
Yeah, it was.
You wait for me outside. No, I'm coming.
Yeah, I definitely was feeling no pain by the end of that day. But it really just...
Jim, on the other hand.
Well, no, we managed to get him out there without him getting assaulted by Tiger fans.
Three people throwing him out.
So I'll take that as a win.
And I also didn't follow my own advice. I did not have a lanyard, a clipboard, or a ladder.
Yeah.
If you would have just had a Tigers jersey, we would have been fine. But no.
Into a party with a ladder. Oh, hey, hang on, folks. Yeah, yeah. Those light bulbs aren't going to change themselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just lean it up against the building. You know, every once in a while, you move it. People just assume you're official.
Yeah, you're just climbing up there. A couple cobwebs off the ceiling.
Hey,
this place is a fire trap, people.
Right? He's nothing if not thorough in that regard. Just wasn't so much that day. Thanks a lot, all.
Anytime.
Hey, I got you into the press box last year, so let's...
That's right. No complaints.
So it worked out eventually. We have kind of graduated. We've advanced in our studies of looking like you belong somewhere. So we got that going for us, if that, you know, which is nice, if possibly nothing else. And really, probably nothing else.
Yeah.
we didn't manage to get kicked out of Comerica Park this year, so that was nice.
Yeah, good.
Which, you know, I like to give us props for that, because that was probably a very real possibility with us being in being there and going in the not so public areas and whatnot. Anyway, we got to hit a break. A lot of stuff to get to today. Stick around. It is happy hour, and we'll be back right after this. You'll notice on this show there's kind of a recurring theme lately about people and how they act up when they're out in a dining setting, customer service in general.
Yes.
There's a lot of that that comes up around here. And there was a rather survey I found rather interesting. I feel like you'll appreciate this. The restaurant behaviors that are the most offensive things you can do at a restaurant. A recent YouGov survey asked 1,000 American adults about the acceptability of 20 restaurant behaviors, and the results indicate many people think the customer is not always right.
Duh.
And there are exactly 10 that came up that 50% or more people think are not acceptable in some capacity.
Okay.
So the top 10, according to the survey, say they won't pay for a dish they didn't like, but ate. 90%. I hate that. Like,
yeah.
If it was good enough for you to eat, it's good enough for you to pay for.
Yeah.
I hate that sort of thing. Like, we don't have to deal with that for the most part, the place I work at, because, I mean, we're a dive bar. You know what you're getting when you come here. You know you're not getting fine cuisine. Right. How you want your chicken tenders. Like
Fried, deep fried.
Right? Cooked. Cooked would be acceptable. We're good with that. Not looking for chicken tartare tonight. There's really only one option here.
Yeah. But yeah, you hear that all the time. Like, they eat the whole meal and like, oh, it was terrible. I want my money back. No, that's not. I mean, we also heard like people watch an entire movie in a theater and go back, oh, that was terrible. I want my money back. No, you consumed all of what you were given. You're done. Remember, you may not, because they stopped this trend years ago, but they would advertise a product and they said, if you're not fully satisfied, send the unused portion to. And like, do they really want? They realize, oh man, we're getting like half tubes of toothpaste and mouthwash and all stuff through the mail. This is not. They stopped that, but the idea was, if you don't like it, don't use it. Don't use it, and then claim you didn't like it just to get your money back, because those people are out there.
We had that back when I was working pizza, where people would go and. Oh, I didn't like this. Like, this was wrong. This was wrong. Like, all right, do you want me to remake it and send it back out? And then we'd be offended when we'd want the uneaten portion of the other pizza. Like, okay, so there wasn't anything wrong with this. You just wanted to scam something free out of me. Yep. Cool.
Yep. And what kills me, and you'll see them on, like, Yelp reviews and everything else. We've been coming here, like, every week for, like, 6 weeks, and we just have the worst time. That why do you keep coming? If you're not happy with the product, why do you keep getting that product?
Yeah, I've never understood that, because there's always like the same people that complain every single time about their food. Yeah, at some point, I'd probably go to a different restaurant.
Yeah.
These people apparently just aren't wired that way.
You know what? You're starting to see a lot of managers in restaurants saying, you know what? We've tried to please you. We just simply can't. We suggest maybe other dining options for you. And I think those managers deserve a medal. But I mean, it's like, but those people, those leeches are out there in society where they just want to claim it's the worst they've ever had. I'll see you next week. And because they keep wanting to get something for free.
Exactly. Like, that's all it's about, is that they're trying to get a free meal one way or the other.
Uh-huh. That's all it is.
I hate that sort of thing, man. Like, that's one of those things that just infuriates me to no end. Like, we all know why you're doing this, why you feel the need to register a complaint about everything, because otherwise you wouldn't keep coming here. There's no way you would.
Right. And they think, at least they think, that if they register a complaint, the manager is just going to go and kowtow to them, because they don't want them to not come anymore or give a bad review and prevent other people. But now you're actually seeing people leave a bad review and the manager clap right back.
I love those.
Oh my God.
I have seen an increasing amount of those. And you know what? Good on those managers for doing that. Because like, that was a thing for a long time. Like, oh, what, we wouldn't dare say anything bad about the customer, because, you know, that just going to look bad on you. But now, here's the great thing about living in an era where there is cameras everywhere, everyone's on social media all the time. And like, no longer is it just your word against mine. Yeah. Like, the dude who went and complained at Shorts not too long ago, and flipped over that other table's pizza.
Yeah,
like, they were just gonna leave a bad review on their website or whatever.
The manager's like, uh-uh-uh.
About that, here's what you did here on camera for everybody to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not your word against mine anymore. It's your word against the cameras.
Yep. I mean, and God bless them. I think that's great.
Because honestly, at this point, it's every bit as much for their protection as anything. And I, for as much as I hate sometimes and have hated working in situations where there's just cameras everywhere in the damn restaurant, like, at least in a setting like that, it certainly, you know, makes sense to have that as proof that, okay, he was being drunk and belligerent, clearly.
Yep.
He doesn't need to come back here. And also easily identify them so that you don't ever serve them again.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, pizza flipper. Yeah, I'm not serving you. Go on, get.
Yeah, you're not welcome. Get out of here.
So that's one entry on this list.
Right? Yeah.
I love that.
I know, and that is the one that people are very much like, that was the one that was voted unacceptable by the most people.
So and that was number one on the list?
That was number one of the top 10 of the ones that were seen as more unacceptable than not.
Yes.
There's five pretty divisive ones in here after that as well. Let's do one more here real quick. Debate menu prices with the staff. 84% of people said that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I had actually had that at my 9-to-5 job. Somebody wanted to complain about prices. I'm like, how much clout do you think I have?
Yeah, like this grocery chain is absolutely going to take into consideration the suggestions of one of its stockers as to what we should be charging for things. Yeah, that makes sense. Don't tell me that the prices of things are just highway robbery. I am powerless to help you.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can personally do about this. I can't just give you things for free because you feel like they should be. I can't just give you a lower price. There was a span of like 3 weeks where I had someone try and haggle with me on the prices of drinks and beers and things. Like, this isn't a used car dealership. Where do you think you are?
Especially
here, go down the street to the fancy restaurant and let me know how that haggling thing works out for you there. I guarantee you it's not going to. You are not going to get the result you seek there. You're certainly not going to do it here where I'm already charging you bargain basement prices for things.
Exactly.
We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. It is happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and if you're just joining us, we'd started talking before the break about the 10 most offensive things you can do at a restaurant, and we got through like two of them. As it turns out, we as service industry folk in one capacity or another have a lot of grievances with customers.
Well, that and just people that I've had dinner with. A lot of it is, if you are a bad person in a restaurant, just know that the people that are with you are not always with you. You take what I'm saying, people? Sometimes people are like, there's people I will never go to a restaurant again because they complain about anything just to not leave a tip.
There's a certain ex-friend of mine that we stopped going out to restaurants with him and his wife long before we stop being friends with him, because he was that guy. He was always looking for something in every restaurant we went to complain about, something to get on the wait staff about. There was always some sort of issue.
Yep.
That, and it almost always was an excuse to like not tip. Like, I had watched the guy just ream servers out like nobody's business. Like, he brought one to tears one night. Like, it was, I can't do this anymore. Like, no, you're totally, like, I'm not backing you up on this. You're completely in the wrong. Like, I hate that sort of thing.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed to go out with people like that.
Oh, yeah. I won't. I've refused to.
So let's pick up the next. The top 10 bad diner behaviors, according to this survey from YouGov. So I skipped over number two because I knew we were going to spend more time on it. Allow their children to run freely.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm a dad. I've been a dad or a stepdad for many years. No. You got to realize that your kids, anybody in your table, needs to stay in your table area. I mean, kids running around, if they could trip a server who's carrying somebody else's food, somebody could get hurt. The kid could get hurt. And other people I wouldn't imagine running around a restaurant and disturbing somebody else's meal. I'm not going to let my kid do it, too.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So, and when I was growing up, I was not allowed to go running around.
No, but look, I have told this story once or twice on the air. Like, my dad wouldn't even go out to restaurants with us, supposedly because he was so embarrassed by how we acted and whatnot. Like, I and none of us were the getting up and running around the place. I certainly wasn't. I've told stories on the air of having to corral either my brother or my grandma with dementia to get out of a restaurant because one would be sitting screaming, the other would be sitting on the floor yelling, help. I'll let you take a guess which one was which. Like, I could never imagine being that person to, A, let any theoretical kids I'm never having run around a place,
right,
or two, to be someone just running around a restaurant. Like, I have learned, over the years, like, I'm never going to, if I ever were to have done that, I would have never been allowed to go to a restaurant until I was like 18.
Yep. There's people out there and you hear the parents, well, we deserve a night out too. Yes, you do, but you have to take care of your own. And if what you're doing is disturbing other people from their experience, their time to relax, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, that is not acceptable. I'm sorry. Like if you going out inherently has to inconvenience and ruin the experience of the people around you,
yeah,
then do you really need to go that badly?
Yeah, well, my kids are beautiful. They're wonderful human beings. They're part of my family. And
Part of your family, but
yeah,
you know,
I'm gonna subject you to them because they're so special. Yes, they are special. To you.
Not to any of the rest of us.
Right. I mean, because at what point do you start, you know, corralling them in? Are they like 16 years old running around, hi, my favorite color is blue, you know, or anything like that? I mean, maybe there are some 16-year-olds out there like that, but...
quite possibly, but either way, other people don't want to be subjected to this.
Yep, I mean...
Like, your kids under control or don't take them out.
We used to go to Sam's Coney Island, which we went for generations. And, I mean, there's times that, you know, they've always had good food, you know. So as a kid, you know, 5, 6 years old, you eat, and you know, all of a sudden you get like a food coma going on, you just want to sleep, and I want to lay down in the booth. Can't do that. That's not good table manners.
Absolutely
you put
not.
You put your napkin in your lap. You don't crawl underneath the booth. You don't blow bubbles in your chocolate milk. I'm like, wow, we're not having fun today.
Yeah, none of that would have ever, ever been allowed for a second in my house, in my household. There's no way. We would have absolutely been like, I might have been kicked out of the house then at like 5 if I tried to do some of that stuff.
I'll get out of the car. Your parents should just run, shut the door, lock it. Can I come in now? When you learn how to be in public, you can come in.
You know, that probably actually would have...
When we go to a restaurant, the biggest thrill that we had when we were able to leave the booth was we get to pay the bill. Like my mom and dad would give me the money and the bill and I'd go pay it.
Right? They would do that for me too. Unfortunately for them, that would sometimes backfire because a lot of those restaurants were the ones where they have like the case right at the register with all like the candies and the York peppermint patties yeah. and things. And you best believe I am absolutely buying some of that for myself.
Yeah. Do I have any change? Mouth just full of York peppermint patties. You look like a chipmunk ready for Christmas. No tip. No change, sorry.
Yep. Yeah. What is this change you speak of?
I gave it all to the cashier for a tip.
Exactly. That would have been me, man. All day. The list, by the way, that we're currently doing is the 10 most offensive things you can do at a restaurant. Number 3, we did the debate menu prices with the staff.
Yep.
Haggling is unacceptable always. Yep. Stay past the restaurant's closing time.
Yeah, I'm starting to see restaurants actually say, okay, we close at 11.
We stop seating at
10:30, you know. And you have to do that because there's so many people who just don't get it.
Who walk in at like 9:59, 59.
Made it.
Just got here in time. Ooh, well, it's a good thing we got here when we did. Yeah, we're closed.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, but no, you're... Yeah, no.
Yeah, that gets frustrating for everybody involved, the kitchen staff. I mean, you've seen the movie Waiting.
Yeah.
Okay.
The kitchen staff hates you when you do that.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it. Like, if you're the person that walks in right at closing, that entire restaurant hates you.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that.
Because, I mean, they have to stay at least another hour. A lot of times, they already have that food packed up. And next thing you know,
exactly.
They got to, oh, yeah.
Like,
you want spit in your food? That's exactly
yeah.
when
Rach and I won't go to a place. If like they are closing in that hour, like not for food anyway, like we might stop in for a last minute drink, and we are the kind of people like, okay, well, do I have time for one? And this is a place that know how fast I can suck down a beverage. Like, all right, you just tell me when to beat it, and I'll kill this and I'll be gone.
Yep.
But as far as food, oh yeah, we don't go for food at a place within an hour of closing.
Yeah.
Because I ain't that guy. I'm not going to do that to people.
Yeah, well, you've been in the service industry.
20 years.
You get it.
Too long, as a matter of fact.
Too long.
Snap their fingers to get the waiter's attention. This never works. Let me just tell you, as someone who works at a dive bar.
Yeah.
If you do the snapping your fingers, the waving, the holding up your, waving your bottle at me, all right. of it is guaranteed to get you put back in the line.
Okay,
and double if it's a Keno slip.
Oh, Keno Sub.
If you're like snapping your fingers, waving me down to get me to run your Keno when I have drinks that need to be made,
yeah.
You're now going to wait until I can make sure all your numbers have already been drawn. Those are the worst.
Yeah.
The absolute worst.
Oh, I've been having
like,
a war
I've got priority no, like, and there's places, and I'll say, like, this is the order of things, this is the priority. Drinks, food, Keno, and somewhere down on the floor, can you turn the jukebox up?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, people. Yeah, I've been having
this
a real
problem. This has turned into my, like, airing of grievances yeah. today. Happy Festivus to the rest of us.
I've been having a real hard time at convenience stores with lotto players.
Lotto players are, like, by and large, and not maybe not all of you, but some of the most inconsiderate people, like, you know, some of us are, like, trying to get drinks or, God forbid, get out and get gas and get on the road, and you've got the one dude or older lady who's like, sitting there just scratching off the scratch-offs while there's a line of people building up behind, like, get out the way! Go scratch your stuff off and bring it back in and get back in line like the rest of us.
Oh, yeah, there's one in our local grocery store in our area. There's one woman, and I will describe her. You know exactly who I'm talking about. She wants to buy a couple scratch-offs and scratch them and converse with everybody in line and everything about it. Like, it's, you know, like she's play-by-play for sports. And she'll just keep doing that. If she wins, God forbid, then all of a sudden she buys more scratch-offs. We're just sitting there. You know,
I said, listen,
I got Joey in a hot car. Hurry up.
Right. I left the windows rolled up, too. No, and left the car off. Like, come on. Yeah. Speed this along, could we?
I put a potato in his pocket. Hopefully it'll be nice and cooked when it
left an egg on the dashboard, you know. Yeah. I have a whole breakfast by the time we're done here. You know, other states, like, and I've noticed with the Keno, at least, places are now getting, like, the self-serve kiosks for those.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a long time coming. I wish places I worked had one of those. But, like, for the scratch-offs, other states I've noticed, like, when we go down to Indiana, they have, like, I think Ohio does now, too, like, actual vending machines. Like, scratch-off vending machines.
We do at our store.
Oh, that's right. You do, don't you? That's right.
Yeah.
More places, like, because, like, all the gas stations down in Indiana have these.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've only ever seen them, like, at your store and, like, maybe, like, another big box place. Yep. But, like, that should be everywhere where they sell this stuff because, A, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, people thieving the tickets, for one, because they always insist on, like, they check and double check on that stuff to make sure that someone's not ripping them off.
Right.
This ends that because the only people that are presumably refilling those are lottery staff. Which is probably why I don't want to do it, because I don't have to pay people to do it.
Right.
But you don't have that to worry about, and you don't have one person gumming up the entire works, standing in line, scratching their tickets off at the counter.
Yep. Exactly. Now, okay, so I got two different questions. Actually, a comment and then a question.
Okay, I might have an answer and a response.
My wife works at a watering hole, and they just brought in one of those self-serve Keno machines, and the staff there, they're not happy with it. The reason being is if somebody wins big, which has happened, they make sure to tip the staff when that happens. But if they're doing it themselves, a lot of times people are like, "Well, I did that myself. I'm not tipping anybody."
A, must be nice that your Keno winners tip. I have maybe one out of all the people who play, one or two out of everybody, and they are also fellow service staff because other than, you know, the people that just show up, like, it's day drinkers and service staff are the biggest gamblers of the whole lot.
Sure.
And when it's one of my service industry people that hits, they do. They do tip, but that's like two people out of all the everybody else.
So here's my question. When I'm looking to get another drink, yeah, obviously snapping fingers, waving, everything else, that's a no-go. What that little ledge that's right there on the bar, putting a drink on there, is that acceptable?
If you put your drink in the... Traditionally, the old school bar etiquette is that if you put your drink in the well, that means you want another one.
Yes.
If you put it at the edge of the ledge but not in the well, that means you're done. That you don't want anymore, traditionally.
Oh, okay.
If it's a place that has the little well there.
What if I light a sparkler?
That's going to mean you're getting cut off. No, as far as I understand it, anything left in the well, traditionally, it means they want another one. Like that's, and I've talked with my older bar patrons about that, and that is traditionally understood to be the way that works.
That's why I always understood it. I've also hung out with people that, you know, they lay the empty bottle on its side, called a dead soldier. I figure that's kind of sarcastic. Don't
now,
do that.
Now, I have been, now, at that, as far as I've already said, if you leave that in the well, the sideways like that, that also means you're done.
Yeah.
That see, you don't want anymore.
Right by the edge, I've never heard that, but it makes sense.
Like, if you set it in the well, then set it upright in the well, you want another. But yeah, if it's a bottle and you leave it sideways, yeah, that means you don't want no more.
Gotcha.
That is the rule as far as I understand it. Someone wants to correct me, facebook.com/happyhourssr, let me know. Maybe I got it wrong. Stranger things have happened. We are not even halfway through this list, man. I'm actually quite impressed.
We're having a good time.
We'll do a couple more of these, though.
All right.
Bring outside food or drinks into the restaurant. That is always a no-go. Into a restaurant, absolutely. Now, people have brought outside food into the bar before when, you know, it's late in the evening and you're probably not getting, you know, burgers made, and, you know, when you're the only, you know, when you've already shut down the
or
kitchen for the night.
Or if it's like a birthday party, bringing in a cake.
Bringing in a cake is always acceptable.
Yeah.
And we've had people actually ask us in the past if they can cater their own, like, for their parties and things, because we work at a place where if you have a group of 50 people show up and all want food, that is hell on earth, because we typically have one kitchen person on the weekends. Maybe we can pull a second person.
Yeah.
Maybe the owner will jump back there and help too. But like, we're not set up to pump out large quantities of food. So those we don't mind, because you know what those people also do? They drink.
Yeah.
And they drink a lot, and they tip well.
Good.
And as long as those requirements are met, yeah, you want to cater an outside thing, check with the bar first. Call them, let them know, ask them if it's okay.
Right.
But that's totally cool. Show up 15 minutes late to a reservation. Okay, maybe I've been a little bit guilty of this. Not necessarily in the restaurant sense, because I don't. It's very rare that I set reservations anywhere. I mean, A, because we can't afford to go to the kind of places that demand reservations, let's be honest. But, like, I, as a general rule, am very bad at setting reservations for things and times for stuff. Like, when the Secretary of State went exclusively to reservations, and then the dad showed up 2 minutes late and just got harangued by the lady for that, I mean, yeah, I probably had it coming, but good Lord. That's a bit much. Like, I can't set an appointment speak and like, stick to it. Like, I had to, it was a 2-week process of setting up an appointment to get my haircut. Because the guy I get it done by here in Lapeer is now, like, by appointment only, because he's, like, very in demand.
Sure.
So, like, just to alleviate the stress, you know, having 20 million people hanging out in the lobby waiting for him to cut hair and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's an appointment system. You know, you go online and book your time or whatever. And I've come close to canceling it on a few occasions. Like, I'm not going to make it in time.
Yeah.
I am habitually late for everything. I'm behind on everything in my life. I probably shouldn't be saying this on the air on a radio station where, you know, I'm hoping that they will hire me at some point. Like, oh, just so you know, guys.
Yeah. Sean Cantwell in the afternoons, 1-ish to 5-ish.
Yeah, from whenever he gets there to whenever he leaves.
No, but you know what? That's also a double-edged sword, because, I mean, it's... you don't want to be late for, but you always, if you have a group of people, you always have that one person who just like, oh, they'll save our table for us. They want the money. So I'm going to take my sweet time. And so you show up. All right. I'm here for a party of 8. They're not here yet. And then it's just like, you're sitting there, you're waiting. And the server's just like, anybody else? Yeah. You feel like a clod. You feel like a real clod. But it's not your fault. It's you know, other people in your party.
Right. I honestly, this is kind of why I hate going out to eat with large groups of people. And Rachel's listening at home, and she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where you have, like, half your party shows up. And also, they don't call for reservations. Like, they just show up. They just roll in 15 to 20 people deep.
Oh, Lord.
And just expect the restaurant to be able to accommodate.
Oh, wow.
And I'm always embarrassed by this a lot of the time because they're not always the most, these people are not the most forgiving always when it comes to this stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, when I got to get to go talk to the server after, like, I'm so sorry about that. Here's like an extra 20 or 30 or whatever. Like, thank you for indulging our nonsense.
She's got a big old chunk of her own hair in her fist.
Yeah.
Get out. Don't come back.
I hate that sort of thing, man, much. Like, going out to eat with large groups like that when, you know, a place isn't expecting, when it's not like a party or something of that sort, like, it gives me anxiety like very few other things do.
Yeah.
Leave a mess at the table, such as spilled drinks or food crumbs. 60% of people say that is unacceptable. Also, who are these 40% of people that say that is acceptable?
Oh, well, because it's their job to clean up after us. Absolutely. Work
food
for
crumbs
us.
Is one thing. A whole spilled drink, though? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Come on now. I mean, if I spill a drink, I'm embarrassed.
I'm usually done drinking at that point. Like, at the point where I've spilled my drink. Okay. Clearly, I'm cut off now.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, party foul, I'm out of here. There was a local establishment maybe east of Lapeer that posted that somebody had gotten all upset because they told them that they should clean up after their own kids. They had, and this father and everything else was talking about how long they had to wait and how the staff was rude. And this is a local business, independently owned business. And again, it's like what we talked about earlier today, was they clapped back. They said they gave pictures of the table these people left, where it was like just like rags everywhere and just food everywhere. They actually took the jelly little carousel and put it underneath the booth, and that spilled all over the place. I mean,
I don't understand, like, how some of these people function in civilized society, man. Like, do you just make this much of a filthy mess at your own home?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, I hate to walk in your house. I can imagine it's just swarming with ants and just food just strewn about the place. Yeah.
Well, we have kids making memories.
Making memories, making, you know, creating mold problems we'll have to deal with later. Yeah. You know, things like that. Making memories and black mold.
Yeah.
Because we didn't think we needed to clean up that spill that badly.
Fisher-Price mold removal.
Yeah, we wonder why the kids all have asthma now. It's the craziest thing.
You're not wrong.
Occupy a table for an extended period during busy hours.
Okay, until I'd say like 10 years recently, I was guilty of that because I didn't know any better. Because, you know, actually in the 90s, we would sit there at... you know, when a certain coffee shop restaurant was open 24 hours, we'd sit there and just drink coffee for a while there. And it wasn't crowded, but still, now I know my mistake was, you know, you're taking up some real estate and, you know, taking up somebody's chance to make money. And then we all kind of wondered, oh, well, she's just mad at us because we're kids.
Well, how busy is that place at that point of the evening? Like, were you really taking up a table that wasn't being used by other that would have been used by somebody else?
No, but she's constantly coming over there, pouring coffee which was free refills.
Oh, no, this is an actual restaurant. Okay, yeah, restaurant. Okay, I'm thinking the certain drive-through coffee joint.
No, this was a restaurant.
Okay,
used
to
be open 24 hours.
Yeah, that would get annoying. I imagine.
Yeah, at the time I was like, I didn't know any better. And then even to like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, sitting there with some people, hanging out, having a few beers, I didn't think anything of it. But then, you know, as I've matured and become more in tune with what the service industry, I'm like, wow, I was really kind of a D-bag and didn't even know it. I was, you know, taking up a real estate that's making this person some money, you know. So, you know, if you were ever serving me like 15 years ago, my apologies.
Yeah, like I usually want to get in and out of the restaurant fairly quickly. I mean, you see how quick I eat even.
Yeah.
Like I don't like to hang at a restaurant for more than like an hour max for me. Like I know some people push it more towards an hour and a half or longer, but I'm like No, because now we're just cutting into their ability to make money, and that ain't cool.
Well, these places would be like, you know, a restaurant, but then like right around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, they become more of a nightclub atmosphere. I'm watching the Wings game, and you're just kind of sitting there doing that or visiting with people. Yeah, but then it's like, yeah, but just, I mean, it's almost like, yeah, at that point, you're not just tipping for drinks and food. You're also tipping for time. You know,
yeah.
So you want if you're going to have that space, you need to pay for that space.
No, you absolutely do. Like, right, that's
at least $20 an hour, at least.
I feel like that's fair. I feel like that's entirely fair.
$20 an hour at a table. Every time you have her, you know, the server
come back and refill your free pop or coffee or whatever.
Well, I'm always drinking beer, but you know,
point taken.
But I mean, if you have them change the channel. Or, you know.
Oh, no, that's extra money if I ask you to change the channel and put on a sporting event or whatever. Yeah. No, without a doubt. Like, yeah. If I'm going to be a pain in the ass like that, like, I'm going to absolutely make sure you're taken care of for it. So, on that note, we got to hit a break. We're still not done with this list. Like, after
we've opened up Pandora's box.
We really have. This, I'm not kidding. This might take up the rest of the show, man. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. You'd never really know on this show just what's going to get us interested enough to like carry us away for the rest of the broadcast, but
sure.
It's a pretty good indication that if it's something related to food service or the service industry, that's going to do it every time. We're talking about the top 10 bad diner behaviors, and we've got through 9 of the 10.
Have we really?
We have, but there's
give them a recap.
So far, it's been things like say they won't pay for a dish they didn't like, but they ate, allow their children to roam freely, debate menu prices with the staff, stay past the restaurant closing time, snap their fingers to get the waiter's attention, snap them again, I'll break them, I swear to God, bring outside food or drinks into the restaurant, show up late to a reservation, leave a mess at the table, occupy a table for an extended period during busy hours.
Yep.
This is one that, as you might guess, I don't have to deal with a whole lot, being that I'm, well, me. Flirt with the staff. Shocking, I know. Wait, you mean people aren't just lining up? Women aren't just lining up to try and take you home from the bar every night? Shocking as that might sound to some of you out there, at least to those of you who've never actually seen me in person, no, that's not a thing. But I have watched many a guy try to go after a bartender and in most cases get shot down.
Well, I mean, those are those poor saps. Now, me, personally, when I walk into a Hooters, oh, they just can't wait to see me. They love me over at Hooters.
How sarcastic are you being right now? I can't really tell.
I feel like they love me.
You're probably wrong. Like, they don't. They do that to everybody, Adam. It's part of the job.
Yeah, well, at a Hooters or something like that, that's fine. But, yeah, I also think that a staff member can be too friendly. I mean, I'm okay with people, but, you know, the touching of the back, keep calling me sweetie, keep calling me hun. It makes me uncomfortable.
That. Don't need it in my life. No. Don't need the sweetie. Don't need the hun. Like, I feel weird when people who don't know me address me that way, but I also hate being called sir. Like, I'm not old enough to be a sir yet. Like, I...
Yeah. But, you know, I was actually in a situation in the 90s where I was dating somebody who was, like, ultra jealous and had a chip on her shoulder, so there was a waitress that kept calling me hun and touched my back, and then was just like, oh... I'm leaving a penny for her, and that was, I thought there was going to be a drag out fight between the waitress and my girlfriend at the time.
I feel like that's fair.
It was actually kind of hot. No.
That's why he started all this, because there's nothing this man loves more than a good cat fight.
Yeah. She patted me on the butt too, babe.
I don't know if you saw it, but just in case you didn't, I'm letting you know. And yeah, bring out the pool with the jello.
I'm enjoying this. No. I'll give you a tip when before my girlfriend wakes up. she regains consciousness here. Here's $20. That was great.
That'll be fine. You got all that on video, right?
Yeah, there was one time I was feeling particularly saucy, kind of sarcastic.
Oh, no.
Yeah, some older lady, hi, hon, what can I get you, sweetie? Hon? I was like, yeah, thanks, sweet cheeks. And then she kind of looked at me like, I was like, hey, turnaround's fair play.
Right? Like, I can totally start addressing you as such, right? Yeah, I do hate that, but the people who, like, who actually flirt with the staff, they don't want your other things. They don't want your affection. They want your money.
Yeah, yes. Get that through your head right now. I think it's almost, I've been with some guys who are just like, they understand the game, so they flirt back a little bit. They flirt, and it's a nice little ping pong they've got going on. But then I've also
and then
been
they
with
stiff
some,
them at the end.
Right, yeah. Dine and dash. but I've also been with some guys who are just like, you know, want to, they ask her out.
Yeah.
I mean, and it gets really awkward. It's like, well, I have a boyfriend, or, you know, oh, thanks, but, you know, I don't know. I don't date customers, or, you know, it's. And then there are the hurt feelings, but those are the people that just don't understand the game.
Right.
The friendliness, I can get the sweetie, hun, touching to the back, stop it.
Yeah, just don't do that. But, yeah, no, they're not interested in you. 90% of the time, the server, the bartender, whatever, isn't interested. I'm trying to think of all my years of people trying to hit on waitstaff.
Oh, yeah.
I can only think of one time that it ever actually worked.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen often. I mean, I hit on the waitstaff at the Pix Theater and ended up, you know, married to her 10 years later. But I was also her coworker, so that makes it okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say I've met a few waitresses, but I was also playing in a band at the time. I had a bass player who I knew of him at one time to flirt and hook up with a bartender just so he had a place to stay that night. And I'm like, wow, for one day you were hobosexual.
Ah, yes. Oh, those are always fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're clearly only here because you need a place to stay. I see what I'm picking up what you're putting down here,
yeah.
Bud.
Yeah, that was during his drinking days, and he just looked at me, like, smiled, laughed, and he's like, yep.
Hey, I'm not going to judge you for it. Whatever works for you, man. If it works for you, then...
So how was it? She had Netflix.
Now, here are some ones real quick that were a little more, shall we say, debatable. Divisive, if you will.
Okay.
Take an extended period of time to decide what to order. 48% say that is acceptable. 34% say it's not.
How long of a duration are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if you're like one of those people, like, you know, hi, what do you guys want? And you still don't know, and you just like pawn off to somebody else at the table and hope that, you know,
no,
by
it's
the time it gets to you.
I think they're talking about if you're having to come back to check in with the table like multiple times to see if they're ready to order yet.
I will shoo the server away. It was as soon as we get seated and get the menus and they're up there, hey, what? I was like, we're gonna need a minute. But, you know, at that time, I know as my job as the customer, clock's ticking. Get to work, look at that menu, know exactly what you want.
Like, oh, I haven't even looked at the menu yet.
No, we've been talking. Oh. Hi, can you just, you know, bring us another round of waters and coffees? And, you know, I know it's been 20 minutes, but, you know, it's fine, hun.
There are some places, and I don't want to necessarily call them out here because I like the establishment. I love certain food of theirs. But that Rachel and I will go to where, like, I know that if I don't order right away, it's going to take them a minute to ever get their attention again. So
yeah,
I walk in right. And thankfully, this is a place where they are known for one thing, and that is the thing you get when you go there.
Yes.
So I walk in immediately. All right, I'll have two orders of this. She'll have one order of that. And this, what we're doing with this and this, like right off the jump, right when they ask what drinks we want.
I tell you what, that server is probably just like, finally, somebody knows what they're doing. They probably really appreciate that.
We've never waited more than about 15 minutes in total for our food from the time we walked in the door at that
nice.
Place. And I hear people complain all the time about how the service at this joint is. Like, just walk in the door and know what you want, because 90% of people are here for the same thing that we are.
Yep.
Like, just know what you're doing, and you get taken care of. It's not that difficult. Ask to taste a bottle of wine before purchasing it. 43% of people say that's acceptable. 33% say it's not.
Well, if a high-end restaurant has a wine steward on staff, that's actually, I've known of that to be kind of the
expectation?
The tradition.
Yeah.
Like a wine steward, it's a whole thing. You open it up, you smell the cork, and if you're with a lady, they pour a little bit of glass, they taste it, and it's acceptable, then you pour. You know, if you spit it on the floor, you know.
That means you probably didn't like it very much, I'm guessing.
Won't be asked back. But, I mean, we've seen that at breweries. A lot of times they're like, what's that, white Belgian? You want a little taste here? There you go.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll offer it, which is really cool. Like, breweries in general tend to be really good about that sort of thing. I feel like wineries do, too. Like, that's not, like, an issue. Like, yeah, we want you to sample it, so if you like it, then you're going to go and buy it.
Yeah, but, I mean...
Now, if you're the guy who just goes there, just samples a bunch of things, and then leaves and doesn't buy anything, then you're kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I think the overall motif of what we're saying here is that the customer... has a job too. The customer has a integral part of this.
Yeah, the expectation is still give us money at some point.
You are right as a customer to a certain extent, but yeah, know your limitations, know where you fit into this.
Not that difficult if you know what you're doing and have any ability to be considerate and stuff.
Right.
All right. This is the one I'm probably guilty of most of any of these. Okay. Ask for multiple modifications to a menu item. 44% say acceptable. 33% say it ain't.
Well,
this is the one of this entire list I will admit to being that guy.
I mean, if we're just simply saying, don't put this on there, or add a little of this, that's not much. We've done that. It pads their tip. Absolutely.
Yeah, but, that only adds to your tip when you're going off your way for my pain in the backside, modifications to your steak sub or whatever.
Well, yeah, but my wife, she's allergic to it. I mean, she's definitely allergic to a lot of things. So, I mean, there is some things where like, hey, no mustard, sorry, nothing with buttermilk, please. We just make sure that happens. We add to the tip. But she also likes mayonnaise with her fries. I know. She's weird.
That is one of those things though where it's kind of the job of the customer to let you know like, hey, this is a thing, and also to kind of to research a little bit on the place you're going to. Like, does this sound like something that might be an issue? Let them know that so they can tell you like, no, that's not going to be cool. Like a couple weeks ago, I had a guy come up order some tacos from our place and. Brought them out to him, fully loaded. I can't eat this. I'm allergic to onions. Like, you didn't think at any point to maybe tell me that you can't have onions on this? Because onions are a pretty standard fixture of tacos in a lot of places. Like, the expectation is your stuff will probably have been in contact with an onion at some point. Like, that's not...
Those people, I don't think, are allergic to onions. They just don't think they like onions. People.
This one
don't...
said he's deathly allergic.
Oh, really? Wow. Deathly allergic? Then if it's something that could cause you to die, that should be... first of all, you probably are not eating out very often. And if you're definitely putting that on the list of... Hey, when the waiter comes over or the waitress comes over,
let
that's
them
the
know.
First thing. Hey, how are we doing? Deathly allergic to onions. Okay, all right. So no blooming onion for you.
Right. I mean,
no onion rings.
And he did end up being cool about the thing. I remade the stuff. I just wanted meat and cheese, apparently. And ran back out
Simple.
To him. Everything was cool.
Yeah.
He took care of us and everything. But like you as the customer do need to, very much need to also be keeping in mind, your end of the bargain here. It's like... you need to let people know up front if there's something, if this even sounds like something that might have a particular allergen or whatever in it, like your dietary needs are being met or whatever.
Right.
You got to let us know that right off the jump and then maybe, consider what it is you're going to order. Because at some point, there's just certain things we can't guarantee won't be in whatever it is you're getting.
Right.
Leave no tip after receiving bad service. 51% say it's acceptable versus 31% say it's not.
Say that again?
Leave no tip after receiving bad service.
Especially in situations where the entire place pools their tips. I will go down to 10%, but I'm talking to a manager. I'm talking to somebody. I'm letting people know.
I feel like that's fair. I have only ever had one time in which I've left zero tip at a place, once ever in all my years of going out to restaurants, yeah. And that was because I literally got served a used side of ranch. How do I know it was used? Because it had a used napkin shoved in it. That is the one and only time ever that I have not tipped at a restaurant. And will hopefully be the only time that ever doesn't happen.
Yeah.
One more real quick, because, sure. Oh my God, we are really just about up against it here.
All right.
Ask for a table near a power outlet to charge their devices. 51% say acceptable. 29% say it's not. I don't see the issue.
Ask, fine. Demand, now you're kind of pushing it.
Because we have people at our place all the time ask us, like, yeah, charger back there, I can plug my phone into, like... And I don't have a problem with that, whatever. I've got like 25 of them behind the bar here. Take one, plug it in over by whatever pool table you're at, man. I don't care.
Yeah, just bring it back.
It's not taking anything off my back.
Yeah.
And like here, there's an outlet over there. Like there ain't a whole lot, and they're out on kind of the fringes. But I mean, I don't feel like that's that big of a deal.
We're living in a different world to where you probably see on the regular tables with chargers already in there with, you know, the C type, B type, and whatever. Oh, you know.
The bar up at Otter Lake has like the outlets and things, and even the USB outlets built into the bar rail now.
Really?
Yeah, like in underneath the main bar rail there, like there's actual like plugs in on there. And I believe a couple of them have like the USB ports.
In Otter Lake?
Yes.
The place that just now got a digital jukebox and now actually is taking credit cards after 30, 40 years.
Doesn't have internet in or a phone service in that town, but they have outlets under the bar rail.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. Okay. I've seen some places that actually have wireless charging pads on the bar, on the actual bar itself.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the technology is, you know, it's there now. Embrace it or be left behind, I guess, man.
Yeah, right.
On that note, wow, this took a lot longer than I thought it was going to. This is how you know we've hit goal on a topic, like it took up the entire program. I guess happy hour should probably apologize to people who go out to restaurants and the servers who have to deal with them. We're sorry.
Or actually, also Jim for bringing out his story about him being thrown out of a bar.
Oh, thrown out of an outdoor beer tent, but yeah, you know, still. I just don't really feel the need to apologize to him. If anything, he owes me an apology for getting us thrown out. On that note, Jesse Kelly's up next after ABC News covers the world at 7 o'clock and WMIC AM and W2 370 QFM Sandusky. Talk to you Monday.